Hi, welcome to the Anxious Developer Podcast with me, Andres Gervach. Here I share my knowledge on how to reduce your stress, become more present and productive as a developer. Let's make writing code fun again. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Anxious Developer Podcast with me, Andres Gervach, and my guest, my good friend and my good partner, co-founder, Brav Predovic.
Hi, guys.
So it's been a while since we last spoke. Our last episode went quite nice. I really enjoyed our conversation, and it's been a long time since we postponed this new episode, but it's finally there. So I'm really excited about today's topic. So today we are planning to talk about how to deal with stress as a startup founder. And I think we both have a lot of input on this, as we both had a few companies for the over past decade, especially you, Brock. You had a lot more experience of this. So I think it'll be very insightful to talk about how to deal with stress as a startup founder. And yeah, and I'll just like to maybe ask you to just introduce yourself a little bit about your past experience and how did you find maybe... why did you join even like this startup entrepreneurship journey, and what do you like about it? So we'll start with something positive at first.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Brav Predovic. My journey in entrepreneurship began when I was young, but I just didn't know it. I think when I was young, I was, you know, selling things to my friends at school. I was like making necklaces and bracelets and t-shirts and just different things like that. I just like come up with these ideas. I was really always very creative and stuff like that. And, you know, once I came on into, I think it wasn't until like maybe I was 12, 13 years old. My dad was a military guy. He retired from the Air Force. And so when I was about 12, 13 years old, he retired from the Air Force and he bought a farm. And so he became a farmer after that. And so that was just a really great experience for me, just one, you know, because my dad was gone a lot, like getting to be around my dad, but also just getting to see from a very basic level of like entrepreneurship. Like you make something and you sell it. So on our farm, we produced hay, we raised cows, stuff like that. And so, you know, we raised the hay in the summer, we cut it, you know, four times during the summer, and then we bale it and you know, sell those bales to other farmers that, you know, had horses and cows and stuff like that around us. So just getting to see, like, you know, raising this thing and then being able to sell it, and then like what are the things that happen during that process? Like if you don't water enough, then you don't get to produce as much hay. If it doesn't do this enough, you don't get to produce as much hay. Then, you know, also just from a economy thing, like just the local area, if farmers in the area, if all of them are suffering because maybe the irrigation wasn't as good or the rain wasn't as good that summer where all the hay is low, and so now the price per bale that you sell each bale for increases, so you go from like $3 to $4 or $6, something like that. So I think that was a very like early, you know, fairly early exposure to that before my dad was always, you know, like get in the military, do well in the military, retire, and they'll take care of you. That was the path he took. But I always caved into the second part of his life, which is where he was, you know, home a lot more. And I got to see this very, you know, basic model of entrepreneurship of, you know, making something and selling it. And so I think I, you know, kind of took that into my youth. It's like in school, it's like making stuff and selling it, making dog houses and selling them to neighbors, doing, you know, landscaping work for my neighbors, stuff like that. So I think that kind of started early on, but I was still kind of in that mindset from of what my dad told me is, you know, like do well in school, get good grades, go to college, get into the Air Force, become a pilot, all that stuff. I was like on that track, and I don't think it really hit me until my sophomore or junior year in college. A friend of mine gave me a book, and it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And because I was always, you know, still like always very inventive. And even, you know, I went to the Air Force Academy, which is a military school. And I was like selling stuff to my friends there. I was making t-shirts for the rugby team and just different stuff like that. And so like, there was always a part of me, I just never realized it. And I always had planned that once I went through the Air Force, once I did my career, I retired, 45, 48 years old, like my dad, 50 years old. And then after that, I had started a business. And so when I read that book, it was just like this confrontation of like the rich dad, the poor dad, like what those two individuals are saying. And the fact that like, oh, wow, like I can do that now. I don't have to wait until I'm this and I have all this security, with a retirement paycheck and all this kind of stuff. I can go and do that now and learn those lessons now rather than having to learn those entrepreneurial lessons later on in life. So I was lucky. I got an opportunity after 2 years of active duty service. They were trying to get rid of like 40,000 officers in my pay grade that they had to get rid of. And like, I didn't see the likelihood that I would be kept, that they would probably get rid of me too. So I took the early out. I crossed over into the Air Force Reserves at that point. But then I started kind of my entrepreneurial journey. And so that's kind of where it all started. That was kind of the genesis of it. Right away I started with a technology startup, building something, went into consulting, had a mortgage business, later on developed a device for the dental industry, which you were a part of. So I've just, had a lot of varied background in terms of entrepreneurship, a lot of different businesses that I've done. So it's been a long journey. It's been a fun one, but a lot of learning lessons along the way, and definitely stress has been every bit of a part of that.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about stress, but I want the listener not to take it as the startup journey or like entrepreneurship journey is like it's all about bad. So we'll focus on some maybe not so positive notes, but at the end we'll kind of try to turn this upside and see how can we turn the stress into something positive. But first I want to talk a little bit about stress. And I'd like to ask you, like, when was the, when did you realize you were going through stress? Or like, so a lot of times we can go through stress, but we just don't know. And it's like a part of the journey. So were there moments when you realized, okay, this is very stressful, or you just took it as normal, as this is like normal into startup, as a startup founder?
I think most of my life, I've always challenged myself. I've always been like very hard on myself, I would say. A lot of people have told me that, my parents, friends, family, all that kind of stuff would tell me, oh, you're so hard on yourself. I just have these huge expectations of myself. And so when you do that, you definitely, you put stress on yourself. You put that on yourself. Stress is, had become just a part of my life. And I think I spoke to this on our last podcast, but like when we met and you told me that you dealt with anxiety, like honestly, my reaction was like, it's just stress, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Give you a little pep talk, tell you everything's gonna be fine. And, Andre's gonna be great. Like I didn't understand it. It wasn't until probably started like 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, just went through some extremely stressful events in my life. And that's where I started to what I know now is anxiety, which is where the stress isn't just stress. It's debilitating. It makes you want to curl up under your sheets in your bed, and you just don't want to go, outside. You don't want to talk to anyone. You just want to be alone because you want to be in your safe place. My experience of stress up until, more recent in my life was just stress. And I can even now that I've experienced what anxiety is, I can look back at other moments in my life and be like, oh my, that was actually anxiety too. I just didn't know it. Mm-hmm. Like, so when I was at, just two quick stories, like when I was at the Air Force Academy, one of the challenges I put on myself was to go out for the boxing team. It was something that scared me to box, to be on one-on-one competition, to potentially fail. And that was when you play team sports, you can share the failure. If you lose the game, it's kind of shared. But whereas if you're wrestling or you're in a boxing match or something like that. It's you against the other person. You either win or you lose. That's it. And so I challenged myself to do boxing. And I remember during that probably like 6-7 months that I was in the boxing team and all that stuff. I gradually worse and worse and worse, like couldn't sleep. Really bad stomach problems. Couldn't sleep before the fight, you know, but sleep and have cold sweats. And then before the fight, I tried nap before the fight because I was so tired from the night before, and same thing, just like not really being able to go to sleep and just being, you know, just in cold sweats and stuff like that, because I was so scared, so nervous about that competition. So there was like that. And then I can now see that and be like, oh my God, like that, I was actually, you know, going through anxiety there and I just didn't know it. Same thing too, probably 6-7 years ago, I got into a serious motorcycle accident, or I got a really bad concussion, you know, broke some bones, stitches, all that stuff. And after that, several months, I was, you know, afraid to leave the house. I was afraid to go to sleep. I was afraid to, you know, get on my motorcycle again. I was just afraid all the time because I'd gone through something, you know, a traumatic event, and it just like left this imprint on my brain to be, you know, overly aware, you know? So I can now see, looking back, that wasn't just stress. You know, stress had become such a part of my life that I just dealt with it, but you don't really realize sometimes you're going through an extreme amount of stress. And so that's kind of like the entrepreneurial mindset, is just like being more aware of when you need to take care of yourself. Because back then I wasn't aware to take care of myself in those moments. I just like pushed through them, and that was probably not the best strategy.
Yeah, I think it's important also to know that it's okay to experience some stress. And just like when you said, when I was going through what I was going through, you tried to mention to me that it's normal to have the stress and like to go through it, and it's not something you need to escape. And I think that's a great advice. And I think one thing we can take from this is also that not all the stress comes from, you know, being a startup founder. It a lot of times comes from your, you know, your personal life and other things, external things. And it's in a way, like, it doesn't mean like, okay, so you're experiencing that, you don't need to make it, I don't say it's such a big deal, but the more you put like, make it a big deal, the more you call it anxiety and the more you give it a label and everything, the more you make the problem is a little like small, but then you turn it into so big because you're starting labeling, identifying yourself with. So I think it's great that for the past few years, I mean, you've been on an entrepreneurship journey for a lot of years. And if you would experience anxiety, like chronic anxiety every day, every month, you wouldn't be able to be there at this point. So you had a good plan to go for it. Like, you saw it as stress, as something that's just stress and it's part of it and it's normal and I have to experience. So I think that's a great mindset. And the problem is when the stress becomes more, I think, aggravating into more anxiety, and when it starts to become chronic, when it's every day, when it's and the intensity is, so when you try to go to sleep is the same, the stress doesn't go away. So I think that's when you need to look more into it. But I think some part of stress, like you mentioned, is normal, and we shouldn't try to like also overthink it. If it's experience some stress, we don't need to say, oh, I'm experiencing so anxiety and this job is so stressful. You know, like there's always will be stressful factors through the day, and you can take any job, even working a 9-to-5 job, it's also stressful. So it's a good, our podcast episode is about how to deal with stress as a startup founder. I just want to make sure listeners understand that some stress is normal.
I mean, I think one of the biggest things for me in this journey, just, you know, with anxiety, is just realizing, one, it's an experience. It's not something you identify with. That's what I've been fairly conscious of during the process, is, you know, not to identify with this, like I'm a person that has anxiety or something like that. I say I'm experiencing anxiety. So separating that. The other piece of it, and I think this is the good piece of me, like I talked about those events that I had in the past, I always had an outlet. And so even with this kind of recent event, I've developed tools over the years just in terms of how I've dealt with like normal stress. I have tools in terms of, you know, keeping my fitness up, going to the gym. I've learned, you know, over the last 10 years or more to do meditation, to be more mindful. So these are the things, these are like kind of the tools that have helped me with stress. But one of the biggest thing or deal with anxiety as that, you know, kind of more chronic stage of stress. And so, yeah, I think another thing I've noticed kind of in my own journey is I think what makes anxiety worse or makes stress become anxiety is you're constantly fighting yourself. You're kind of like you're feeling stressed. You're feeling stressed about something, and then you feel that, and then it becomes even worse because then you start identifying with it, like, this might be anxiety. So you freak out about that, and you're trying to push it away. You're trying to get rid of it. You're trying to squash it, put it in its box, and it just, that doesn't work. It just makes it worse because now you're fighting yourself, and you're getting mad at yourself because you're experiencing this thing. One thing that I've more recently heard that's just really been kind of a big breakthrough for me, both with just normal stress and moments of anxiety, is when I'm feeling that, I just tell myself, like, what that really is it's because I care so much. Like, what that stress that I'm feeling or that anxiety I'm feeling, it's because I care so much about XYZ. And so once I identify with that, once I say, okay, it's because I care, and that's a good thing. This stress is here for a reason. That's another lesson I learned along the way, is that your stress is there for a reason. It's for a biological reason. Stress is there to make you sharper. It's to make you more aware. It's to help you react faster. So that's what it's there for. It's just, unfortunately, sometimes it goes a little haywire, and it's like that kind of part of your brain's switched on like constantly. You know, maybe it's not like every single day, but it's, you know, at certain points of the day or certain things that get switched on like full blast. And that's where you need to, you know, have tools, have techniques to calm yourself down, have ways of reframing that stress. So this is not just, oh my God, I'm stressed out, I'm freaking out, like, oh, I'm saying all these mean things to myself to push this down. It's like, no, it's just because I care. That's a great thing. It's a great thing to care about your work. It's a great thing to care about someone else. You know, like whatever that stress is about, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one thing, that why we see this happening a lot of times with people when they realize this anxiety, or like they're going through a more intense stress episode. And I saw it in myself. So when I kind of self-diagnosed myself with anxiety at the time, You start at this point. I saw already some of my friends and family members that are dealing also with anxiety. Once they find that it's anxiety, they almost like it starts a different journey for them. So it's almost like, oh, now I'm stuck. You know, like they identify this is anxiety, and why I haven't experienced this before, because they didn't really know about anxiety. So it's like stress. They like tried different ways. Maybe it was not the best. And I'm not saying it's not this part of your journey is necessary. It's necessary to go through this part of where you are identifying with it when you start to make it a huge problem, because over time you're going to see past it and find tools and understand that it's just like a label. It doesn't have to be. It's like not like last year, before that, all these years I was fine. And now since last year, I start to experience anxiety. And all my life, I'll experience anxiety from now on. And it's because you start labeling with that anxiety and you make it such a huge problem around it that you're just trapped into this thing. So that's why it may seem that, oh, before last year when I started to experience this, I was like a free person, you know, like I didn't experience any of this. I didn't have the panic attacks and stuff like that. And once you identify with it, it's a start. I mean, that's a start. You have to find that this is anxiety. You're experiencing the symptoms. This is panic attack, and it's normal. But I think in my personal experience, it takes a few years or months if everyone is different, but it takes a lot of time since after that when you realize, okay, I'm experiencing this. This is definitely very intense, but we have tools, we can work through this. And after and through time, you'll identify yourself way less with that anxiety level you put yourself at the start. And you'll just see it as almost like as you saw it before, like it's just stress and it's normal. So you're almost coming back to the place you were before you experienced all this, but now you come with tools, with tool sets, you know what to do in case you have intense moments of anxiety, of stress, so you are more wise. But you had to go through all that dirty part that's like identifying with it and experiencing intense emotions and stuff. So I think that's all part of normal thing.
I studied, my major in college was psychology. Like that was something that very much interested me. I was in my counseling track. So I was a behavioral scientist in the Air Force, and that was like kind of my career track was to, you know, counsel people and stuff like that. So that education, you know, like especially, you know, this is, I think things are changing, the understandings of the mind and, you know, different things that we have is growing and evolving. But I think during that time, it's like once you're labeled with something, like you have anxiety, you have OCD, you have this thing that's wrong with you. And it was almost like a medical diagnosis, like you broke your leg. I'm diagnosing you had broken your leg. It's like that. Whereas the brain is like what I think we're coming to understand as a society and like just from a you know psychological level. I think we're coming to understand like how powerful the mind is and how, you know, like the neuroplasticity that your brain can change. You can rewire it. It does take time sometimes. Like, you know, the stress that I've experienced, the anxiety that I experienced, you know, in the last few years, my brain just, you know, it got triggered. Like a switch got flipped on because of, you know, trauma and stuff like that. And so it got switched on this path, but it can just as easily as it got switched on, it can get switched off. It can happen in a moment or it can happen over months. It can happen over a couple of years. But if you're dedicated to, you know, your well-being and your healing and, you know, doing these things that other people have kind of proved the way of, you know, if you do this every day, you're going to reduce your stress. If you do this every day, you're going to make yourself, you know, feel lighter, like whatever those practices are. I have, you know, I have my tools, you have your tools that you use to get through the stress. But over time, just don't feel like this is like a medical diagnosis that you're always going to be this way. You're not. There are definitely times in my journey, especially the last couple of years, where I, you know, wondered, I was worried, and I was, you know, added even more stress and more anxiety to it. Was, oh my God, am I going to be like this for the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. And is this going to keep getting worse? You know, those questions I would ask myself, and I'd worry even more. If you can get away from that idea, like I'm living proof that, and I believe you are as well, Andre, like you're living proof that, you know, this is, you know, it's an experience. It's something that's, you know, switched on in your brain. It's okay. It's natural. Your brain wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't natural. And over time, you can switch this off or you can diminish it. There's always going to be stress in your life. There's always going to be moments of anxiety. But when you're developing the tools, you're not only developing a way through that, but you're also, you know, rewiring your brain. So that's not as prominent anymore. That's not that switch that got turned on can get turned off.
Yeah. Let's get a little bit more. We talked a lot about stress, anxiety. I would like to get more specific about like, as a startup founder, what do you think is the kind of main causes of stress? Because we're not dealing with deadlines or like, you know, someone from upper, like a boss to tell you what to do. So it's different stress factors. So I'm curious to know from your insight, what are some common stress factors do you think as a startup founder?
I think, you know, going in business for either if you're by yourself, if you're a solopreneur, or you're, you know, working with a team, the danger is that you are your own boss, and more often than not, we are our worst boss. We are harsher on ourselves and more impatient with ourselves than any other boss in the world would be, how cruel we can be to ourselves, and how all these expectations we have of ourselves, and we have this goal in mind, we have this vision, and every day that that vision is not met means we fail a lot of times. That's kind of how we think about it. So you just, every day, if you're in that mindset where if you're not at where you want to be, then you are, you're wrong, you're not doing it right, you're failing, like all that kind of stuff. If you're kind of in that mindset, you're just kind of destined to have stress, destined to have anxiety with that mindset. So that's just like one of the main thing there as far as being an entrepreneur, being a startup founder, is just the expectations you have. So one of the things I learned along the way to deal with stress, to deal with anxiety, is to take that goal away. Like that vision, so like I have that vision in my mind, I have that mountain that I'm gonna climb. What I focus on is breaking that down step by step. Taking that down step by step. So I'm gonna climb that mountain, like I'm gonna go up this route, and then I'm gonna go this way, and then I'm gonna go around that tree, and then I'm gonna do this. So I break it down step by step. And so that way, each, you know, day or each week or whatever that goes by, that big goal that you have is broken down, so it's just small little steps. And that's a lot more easy to manage. The other piece of it is, again, stop judging yourself by like, you're not here, that you're not where you know, the ultimate vision is. That's okay. What's really cool is this freaking journey that you're on. Like, how awesome is that, that you get to do this, that you have the mindset that you know, receive this idea, that you have people around you to support you, or you don't, that you have, you know, that internal strength that to support yourself. Like, how cool is that? Just appreciating that from a journey level. If you can get to a place, once you get to a place where you can enjoy the journey, you can see life and just business as fun. It's a game. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing to kind of combat that. Another thing is just, you know, kind of working on a team. Again, especially if you're like a small team and stuff like that. I know, as you know, I'm sure you experience this from your role in the business. I definitely experience it from mine. You know, being the CEO, I have you guys. I felt like I have you guys relying on me, and so if I'm not doing what I said I was going to do, if I'm not doing this every day, if I'm not putting the work in, if I'm not getting to this place, I have you guys relying on me. And if I'm failing, I'm failing you guys. So it kind of adds another load of it. I'm sure, just as a partner in the business, you feel the exact same way. As like, if I'm not doing this for my team members, that I see them working hard, if I'm not doing it, then if I'm not achieving all my goals every single day, then I'm failing them. So you put all this pressure on yourself rather than just focusing on the task at hand. I'm not sure if I talked about this in the last episode, but just kind of a lesson along the way was, I did rock climbing for a little while. And, one of the things with rock climbing, I started, like, it's called bouldering, and you climb these like 15 foot walls. And so I noticed, like, when I did that, I was scared of it. And so I made myself do it, but like, even like 3 feet up the wall, if you fall, you're not going to get hurt. Like, nothing's going to happen. Yeah. But even like 3 feet up the wall, like, your reptilian brain starts screaming at you, like, don't let go. Like, I'm going to die. Like, it starts screaming at you. And so, but you also have to like solve a puzzle. So you're trying to climb up this wall, trying to, figure out which handhold to grab onto, like all that kind of stuff. So you have to use, your prefrontal cortex to solve that problem. And so what I found in those moments, and it taught me a lot about life in general, was when you're present, that fear goes away. When you're present and you focus on the task at hand. So what I would do when I was climbing that wall was just calm my brain down by being very present and just focusing on the next move, the next thing you're going to do. So if you look at kind of like bringing everything together, like I mentioned, like climbing that mountain and breaking it down into small steps. That's why it's so important, because it makes you present. So every step along that entrepreneurial journey, finding pleasure in that, because you're just focused on that task at hand. Your mind is calm. You focus on the task at hand, and you're focused on, and you're drawing pleasure from that journey. You're celebrating your little successes along the way is another thing that's like so important. So I think for me, that's what I experience with the entrepreneurial stress, is the stress I put on myself, the stress, you know, working with the team, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you brought the first point, which was very interesting, because when we think of, like, it's not nice to have a boss, right? Like, they always tell you what to do and stuff like that. So it's nicer to be your own boss. But we forget that you can be your best friend, but also your worst enemy. Because if you have a very negative, negative like pattern of talking to yourself, like always being very hard on yourself, you can push yourself a lot harder than a boss will do. Because we know, like, you know, if you're talking with a friend, the way you would talk with a friend, is way different than if you would talk with yourself. Like, if your friend didn't manage to do something, or, you know, like, didn't, I don't know, messed up something, you wouldn't say, oh, you're such a disaster, you couldn't do this, like, you better be next time, you know? We usually don't talk like that, because we have some empathy for those people. But when it comes to us, it's almost like we don't have boundaries. So we just, like, say anything we want, and say how harsh we want. And the problem is, you don't even realize you're doing that. So it's become this normal constant chatter. So it's a very good point that, being your own boss sometimes can be even harder, because the way you talk to yourself. And just being aware of that, that's the first step, I think, being aware of how you talk to yourself. And this is definitely doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes can, if you really get at the rock bottom, because I had a lot of times, I wouldn't say like I hit rock bottom, but not about like entrepreneurship, but there's different moments when I was like negative talking to myself, and then I would just like pause for a moment. I don't know what brings me into that, you know, present moment, but just you pause, and then you realize how awful you're talking to yourself, like how awful you're being. And you can see the inner child in yourself, like, being so hurt. And then there were a few moments when I start crying, because, like, Jesus, I'm, like, so harsh on myself, you know? And then after that, I give myself a hug. And you just get this love, like, as you would get from a parent, almost. Like, if your parent would hug you, you know, like, that kind of feeling. So I think those things are very important. But I think they come through your journey. You'll not come overnight. And you have to be very mindful. And, you know, practicing meditation and stuff like that will help you to become more aware of those moments.
Yeah, I think one thing, you know, I realized too is, like, and it comes with, again, being a startup founder and stuff like that, you're constantly, you know, judging yourself and stuff like that. Procrastination is a huge symptom. This is like something I didn't realize. Procrastination is a huge symptom of anxiety. And so that's one of the things I've had to switch, is because I used to get so hard on myself when I found myself procrastinating. What I did finally was kind of reframe that as, like, one, I'm procrastinating because I fear something, because I'm anxious about something, because I'm scared. And if I am mean to myself now, if I'm, like, you know, telling myself, like, that just, like, you're pathetic, you're not getting your job done, you're just being lazy, you know, that mental chatter, that's only going to make it worse. That's only going to make it worse. So you're going to force yourself to not act even longer. So one of the, you know, strategies I have, one of the tools that I have, is, like, when I'm in that state, when I have, like, a real strong anxiety come on that I can't get rid of just through my normal tools, I am aware now that I just need to take care of that. And sometimes it's like, literally, I'll plop down in my bed, like, you know, kind of face down my stomach in my bed, and just kind of like curl myself. It's like kind of my version of giving myself a hug, because it feels so comfortable and so safe and stuff like that. If I need to have a cry, I'll have a cry. Like, I'll do that, and I'll give myself, you know, 5-10 minutes of doing that. And then as soon as I'm starting to feel better, I'll just immediately go into action. Like, no matter what it is, like, may not even be, you know, for the task I was supposed to do, maybe it's just like, you know, taking the dishes out of the dishwasher, or, you know, vacuuming the floor. Just do something, get your body moving, go for a walk, do something and get your body moving, get that, you know, that will help relieve it, and putting your body into action. And then, you know, just like, one thing too, is just to realize, as a startup founder too, is you know, whatever tasks there is, that's one thing I notice as well is you with anxiety, you get kind of, you overthink like everything, like, cause you don't want to make mistakes so bad. And that, like, that's the anxiety really fuels that. You don't want to make so bad. So you just like sit there and you ruminate and you overthink. And one that doesn't get you anywhere, one that leads, you know, if it is, you're procrastinating, stuff like that. But also, you know, it keeps you in that same place. So the best thing is to do is just act. Even if you don't have a perfect plan, it is never going to come. You know, never, it's never going to be perfect for one thing, but also just, you know, a good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. That's actually something that came from my military education. That was a George S. Patton quote. So that good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. So like action, and whether you're in the military or you're in business, taking action now is far better than, you know, waiting a day, waiting 3 days, waiting 5 days to have this perfect plan. Just do it. Just get out there and do it and make mistakes. It doesn't matter. You're going to be fine.
I hate to interrupt, but this episode is broken into two parts. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you won't miss the second part of this episode when it releases. This has been another episode of the Anxious Developer Podcast with me, Andrei Skrivac. Make sure to follow me on Twitter. You can find me at Andrei_Skrivac, as well as on Instagram at Andrei.Skrivac. I would love to connect with you. If you like this episode, make sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It's the best way for you to let me know what I can improve. Thanks everyone for listening. Have an amazing week.